No, I don't have time for them.
You barely have time for me, he said, almost kissing me.
I didn't want to lie. I know.
You're important to me, Joe.
I looked at Lori's face and counted the little batch of freckles just below his eye. His thick eyebrows were dark blonde, relaxed, and his lips, they were carnation pink. Kiss me and you will see how important I am, I said as some cool girl who quotes poetry possessed my body.
I read those journals, the Sylvia Plath.
I kissed him to shut him up and decided maybe Lori was right. There was so much gray. 40. There had been a line out the door of Pages for the last hour and a half. Hyper Hayton was excessively downing little cups of espresso to add to her own mania. Sam, this kid who I had only worked with twice, was having a hard time remembering orders. On top of that, he rang up the wrong freaking order 4 times in a row, which meant I had to remake 4 drinks in a row, and his shift wasn't over for another hour. I still had 2 hours to go, which meant cleaning up his damn mess. My feet were aching, and my apron was stained with big brown splotches of coffee. My jeans were dusted with ground beans and the remnants of a glob of whipped cream, and I had somehow managed to get a nasty paper cut on my elbow from changing the receipt paper roll. I wasn't ever a graceful barista, but I wasn't usually this clumsy. I guess I can't say shit about Sam messing up orders. It was just that I couldn't stop thinking about this morning. The memory was so vivid, scorching hot in my head. Lori had kissed me, like, kissed me. Like, he kissed me harder than he ever had before. If Meg and I weren't fighting, I would have had her search the skin on my back for little moons left by his nails. I could feel them throbbing now, and my stomach flipped, right at the pit, and my mouth tingled. I missed him. I wished he would come into Pages and push me against the "Iced mocha for here," Sam yelled to Hayton. Or me? I wasn't sure, but it about made my bones jump out of my skin. "Oh, fuck. Fuck us. There's a line over there," Hayton whisper yelled at me, jabbing her little finger into the air to point at the bookstore area. She was right. Fuck us. Pretty much the only shitty thing about working at Pages was when both sides were swamped with customers. Since I was one of only 2 switch employees, I could ring out customers on the bookstore side of the store, then pop over to tell a customer why they should devour my favorite poetry books, to make drinks, or to pop a bagel in the toaster oven when needed. Today was one of those days. I had been going back and forth since noon. I knew that after this line died down, I would be going over to sell books and have to remember authors' names and genres, the order their books go in a series, and maybe, just maybe, if I was lucky enough, my head would explode into book page-themed confetti. "Sorry," I heard Sam say. "It's fine," Hayton shot him her perkiest smile, looking a little like she was planning to skin him alive in front of the crowd. The image was vomit-worthy, to say the least, and I momentarily cursed Meredith and her love of horror for its impact on my mind. Pages kept getting busier and busier each week that I worked there. I hated the long drive to the quarter, but I could totally see why people, both hipsters and non, flocked in to take pictures for their social media posts. The funky blue floral wallpaper clashed with the rows and rows of books. In the back of the store, there was a buy-here-resell-here section that was always busy, and where most of the actual bookworms bought their stock. But the aesthetic collectors wanted the shiny hardback that matched with their designer coffee cup and the pattern on their nails. Pages was everything you wanted in a local hangout, tourist trap, of a bookstore. When word kept traveling about this place, and blogs kept posting pictures of it, and some chick with 1 million Instagram followers posted a fancy latte with a penguin drawn with foam here, it got busier and busier. Almost every person took a picture of their coffee, and I could always tell when they were going straight to Instagram. It's just so chic to drink a $6 white chocolate coconut mocha. And what says designer coffee like a little design drawn on top? But seriously, it is. And I not so secretly loved those pictures. Lori's Instagram was full of pictures of us. Lori,
My stomach flipped again. The boom in business at Page's would have been cool before, but since my dad came home, I just didn't have time to work my ass off at school, then work, then home. I had become so busy driving back and forth to doctors and Amy's Girl Scouts and work that by the time I tied the apron around my waist, I barely had enough energy to make an iced coffee, let alone keep a line going with pep in my voice and a smile on my face. I was sweaty and had lost count of how many bagels I had toasted or how many vanilla lattes I had made. My tan t-shirt was clinging to the sweat beating on my back. When I was thinking that nothing else could be added to my list, my phone vibrated in my pocket. I pulled it out to see my dad's name flashing on the screen. I ignored the call and shouted to Hayton that I would be back in a second. I didn't wait for her to answer before I dipped into the break room to call my dad back. He answered on the first ring.
Joe, hey, can you pick me up from Howard?
He must have been at one of his appointments at the hospital on post. It felt like they were piling up. I didn't even know about this one. I'm at work. I can't. I get off at 4, so like an hour. You had an appointment on a Sunday? I heard the blender turn on and prayed to God that it wasn't Sam making a blended drink.
No, I went to the wood shop on post to see if I knew anyone, but it was full of new privates. Your sister dropped me off on the way to something.
He paused.
I forget, but Meg dropped me off. Can you get me?
I get off in an hour?
That's fine. I can sit and wait here.
A metal cup fell to the floor, and I cringed. The blender, the metal cup, Sam. Bad collection there. I had like 10 seconds tops before I had to go back out there and pull my weight, or I'd be here all day. I wanted to go back to Lori's house, or just see Lori. And I wanted to find out if Meg was still pissed at me over the Shia ordeal. My back was so tense it felt like 100 little needles were stabbing into the meat between my neck and my shoulder. No fucking... I stopped and corrected myself. No way. Let me see if Lori can come get you. I'll text you as soon as I know.
Thanks, Joe. Love you.
Love you, Dad. I hung up and rolled my shoulders back, trying to relieve the throbbing. I wanted to lean against the wall, but I didn't want to get too comfortable. My body was exhausted all the way down to the tips of my toes. I glanced at the huge schedule board tacked to the wall in the break room. My name was on there 4 times for the week. That was about 3 too many. Was life supposed to be so heavy at this age? I should have been prepared for this. TV, film, and media in general prepared me for this. Gossip Girl, Boy Meets World, the imperfectly perfect dictation of what teenage life was like in my era. Lori answered the phone after the second ring. Hey, I have a favor to ask, I greeted him. There was a noise in the background, like a soft buzzing or swishing.
Hi. Okay.
Can you pick my dad up from the wood shop across from Magnolia Hospital?
Now?
Yeah. If you can. Don't you have a driver sitting around waiting for you to call him? Lori laughed into the phone.
I do, but I'll go get your dad. I can actually drive. Can you believe that?
Playful sarcasm dripped from his accented voice. His ha-ha was almost missing the H completely. Gasp, I teased. He was an awful driver. I limited his driving when we went out together. Since meeting Lori, I found myself loving being chauffeured around. I would still ride a public bus or metro any day, but sitting on black leather seats that were always the perfect degree of cold for the Louisiana spring while being driven by a driver who stays in his own lane, unlike Lori, was pretty freaking nice.
I'll leave now. I just need to finish my shower.
So that's what the swishing sound was. Thanks, Lori, I breathed into the phone.
No problem, Joe.
He hung up first, and I tried to think of anything besides him in the shower. Whatever he puts in his kisses should be bottled and sold to virginal girls around the freaking globe. The bell on the wall rang right next to my ear, letting me know the lobby door had opened and scaring the crap out of me. I wiped my hands across my dirty apron and went back out to the storm in the store.
only there wasn't a storm at all. It was like the little bit of sunshine after a bad storm. The line was completely clear on the cafe side, and Sam was clearing the dirty tables. Hayton was putting her busy body to work by sweeping the floor behind the bar. Even the bookstore side was mostly cleared out. Only two people were at the register. A blonde girl and tattooed guy were checking out with a pretty big stack of used books. The noise had also died down so that I could actually hear the music. The door opened again, and Vanessa, our newest coworker, walked in. It couldn't get any better. I loved working with Vanessa. She carried her own weight, and she was funny, witty, and so good at her job that it made the shift so much better. The chaos had cleared out. Lori seemed to bring peace in the wake of him. When I dragged my body through the front door of my house after work, Lori was on the couch with his long legs across the worn-out rug from Mosul. He was wearing light jeans with rips in the knees, and the bottom of his white socks were dirty. Amy was perched next to him. The laptop was in her lap.
And then she yelled at Joe, and Joe stormed off to your house. Meredith and my dad were pissed because of this creep at my school named Jacob Weber, who kissed me.
Amy made a sour face. I leaned against the wall to take my shoes off. I needed a shower, immediately. Amy, seriously? All I got was an eye roll from Amy before she turned back to Lori.
Anyway, so yeah, it's so messed up.
I walked over to the couch and sat at Lori's knees. If Amy weren't here, I would have sat between his legs like I could when we binged Netflix shows at his house.
And none of my friends are in any of my classes this year.
Amy sighed like she wasn't lucky to even have friends to begin with. Speaking of, Beth walked into the living room and handed Amy a plate of food, little butter cracker sandwiches with ham and cheese layered between them.
Thank you.
Amy air-kissed Beth, kicking her sock-covered feet against the couch. She had makeup on, little pink lips and cheeks.
Damn.
Lori shook his head. His hair was tucked behind his ears, but he retucked both sides and kept talking to my 12-year-old sister about her junior high crisis.
That's pretty brutal. Guys can be
He cleared his throat.
Guys can behave really poorly sometimes, especially to girls. I wish I could say we get better when we get older, but I don't know if that's true.
Some of you do, I told him. I leaned back against his leg, and his hand began to rub my shoulder, the one farthest from Amy. His touch was harsh against the muscle, but the pressure felt so good. I was immediately relaxed. I reached up and pulled my hair down to help hide the affection from my sister.
Yes, Lori laughed. Some.
Amy took a bite of her crumbly snack, and Beth stood over me. Her eyes were on Lori's hand on my shoulder, rubbing the strain away. I wasn't embarrassed, which was kind of weird because I was around Amy. Not with Beth, though.
I'm going to take Mom to the PX, she told us.
I'm coming, Amy announced, spitting little flakes of crackers on her white shirt.
Beth shook her head.
You should stay with Joe and Lori. We are just grabbing a couple things and picking up Aunt Hannah's birthday cake.
I don't want to stay with Joe and Lori, Amy protested.
Since she had started curling her hair and wearing little diamonds in her earlobes, she looked older than Beth. It was strange. I swore that since she'd started her period, she aged 2 years. She seemed too immature for her body, with a thin black choker around her neck and her jeans squeezing her little blossoming hips. She was going to have Meredith and Meg's type of body. I knew it. She already had bigger boobs than me, and she was 12. I wondered how she would handle it. And if she would need me to remind her that she held the power of her body and to never let another person use it as a weapon against her.
Look, Beth started whispering, you can't get anything at the store, okay?
Okay. Fine.
I'm serious, Amy. You can't wait till we get there and beg for stuff because Mom and Dad have a lot of bills and that fundraiser is coming up.
I knew Amy always pulled that. She once had a mid-level meltdown in the middle of the PX over some body spray she wanted.
My parents didn't spank us often, but that day, Meredith swatted her 4 or 5 times on the way to the car.
Fine. Oh my God.
Amy rolled her eyes. Lori squeezed my shoulder a little tighter, and I turned around to Amy. Amy, chill, I told her.
Mind your business, Joe, she sassed.
She was giving me such a grown-up look that it was slightly terrifying, but mostly pissed me off. I hated when girls showed off in front of boys, and that was exactly what Amy was doing. Amy, I warned her again. Lori slowly moved his hand away from me.
I'll just go ask Mom.
Amy jerked her body off the couch so fast that the laptop fell on the ground. I freaked. Be careful, I yelled, reaching for the laptop. Lori moved his legs out of the way.
Guys,
Beth cooed, trying to break the tension.
Amy, seriously.
Go to the kitchen or something. Get out of here, I seethed. The screen was frozen when I tried to log on to the home screen.
It's frozen. It's broken now, because you...
Girls? Meredith came into the room. Cut it out.
She broke the laptop, I yelled.
I didn't look at Lori.
Josephine, stop it. Now.
Meredith was awash with anger. It was the most emotion I had seen on my mom's face in a while. It looked good on her. Amy told my mom that she wanted to go to the PX, and when Meredith told her she couldn't, she grabbed the computer from my hands. My sister was glaring at me, standing like a little lioness, with her lip curled up like she was ready to pounce, claws out.
Drop it! Give it to me! I screamed.
She lifted the laptop higher.
Amy!
I yelled, trying to process what she was doing. Would she really trash our only computer, knowing that if our parents couldn't afford to get her a glittery skirt or new pair of sandals, they sure as heck couldn't afford a new laptop? I was full of rage, and all I could think about was shoving her onto the floor, climbing on top of her, and shaking some sense into her. I could barely see straight when I started yelling back at her. Meredith moved toward her, but wasn't fast enough. Amy started yelling too, saying that I was a liar and she hated me. What did I lie about? Who knew? I didn't, but I told her I hated her, too. When Beth moved toward Amy, I pushed at her shoulders and she slammed the laptop to the floor. She screamed and dug her sharp little nails into my skin. Lori reached down and grabbed the computer, carrying it away from further harm.
Stop it, Beth yelled, yanking Amy right off me.
Meredith wasn't even close to happy with us. My dad sped into the room.
What the hell is going on? His voice boomed.
Lori looked away, just a little terrified of my dad's army voice.
The girls are fighting, Meredith explained.
About what now?
I want to go to the PX, Amy said at the same time that I said. She broke the laptop.
You broke the laptop? You're not going to the PX. Get to your room.
My dad pointed his finger toward the hallway. Amy sulked, glaring at everyone, Lori included, and stomped back to her room.
Let's go, Beth. Meredith sounded so exhausted. They close early on Sundays.
Lori waited for my dad to leave the room before he sat back down on the couch.
Tell me the worst, I said when I sat down next to him.
The laptop was open on his lap, but I couldn't see the screen. He licked his lips and played around with the keyboard and the mouse some.
Okay, so it's unfrozen. I think it has some damage, though, and is loading slow. But...
He stopped and looked past me to the hallway. The house was quiet except for the news on the TV and the ticking of the clock on the wall. Amy and my dad hadn't come out of her room yet, and I knew she was probably crying tears of guilt during the lecture Dad was surely giving her. But what? I asked Lori, moving closer. He hesitated.
I don't know. I think I found something kind of weird.
He turned the screen toward me. Show me. I leaned in. On the screen was an email inbox with Meg's name on it. Lori clicked on the outbox, and I stared blankly at the screen while my brain processed what I was seeing.
Only a few emails were in the sent box, and they were all to one person. Meg Spring.
Open it, I told Lori.
I read the email as soon as it covered the screen.
I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
41. Beth. The PX tended not to be too crowded on Sunday evenings. The rest of the weekend was the worst time to go because all the soldiers were off work, but Sundays were sort of a family day around military bases. Mom and I came to the PX to get batteries and a few pair of jeans for my dad right after Amy broke the laptop in front of everyone, including Lori. Meredith was quiet most of the drive, and driving much slower than usual. I figured maybe she was tired. We all had so much going on, I didn't blame her. It used to take me over an hour to fall asleep every night. Not anymore. I fall asleep 10 minutes after my head hits the pillow. Do they have 36-36 of the dark ones? My mom asked me. We were searching through stacks of folded jeans for my dad's size. She had just told me the latest drama. Denise Hunchberg was being accused of taking some of the money from the fundraiser. No one seemed to have proof, but Mateo Hender's mom claimed she did and posted on the FRG Facebook page that she was going to expose her. Since the women's children were dating, that would surely cause drama at Joe's school. Got them. I grabbed a pair of dark wash jeans and dropped them into the cart. We were almost done with our small list, and I was getting so hungry. I had a language arts assignment that I had to finish by the time I went to bed, and I was pretty sure nobody else was doing anything about dinner. I would need to make something, and quick. It wasn't going to be hard, just time-consuming, and I had been hoping I could get some quiet time when I got home, before Amy came into the room for bed. What's for dinner? I asked. My mom picked up a dark gray shirt and held it up in the air. A Nike check was on the little pocket. They want $40 for this. She gawked at the price tag in her hand and slid the hanger back onto the metal rack and grabbed a similar t-shirt from another rack. I thought we could get Little Caesars when we stop by Kmart. I'm going to get the batteries there. I have a coupon. She pushed the cart toward the checkout line. When Meg was in high school, she worked at Kmart for like 2 weeks before she quit. In that short time, we became obsessed with the pizza at Little Caesars inside the store. I smiled at my mom, and my stomach ached. The checkout line took a few minutes longer than usual, even though not many people were shopping. I zoned out while my mom was making conversation with the thickly mustached clerk who scanned our stuff. I started thinking about how fast this weekend had gone downhill. Between the festival, with Meg and Belle Gardner, and Meg and Joe and Amy at each other's,
it didn't go through. Try to swipe it again.
The cashier told my mom. My mom was startled, instantly panicking. Okay. She swiped the card again. A few seconds later, there was an awful beeping noise, and he shook his head.
Do you have another card?
My mom lifted her purse onto the counter and dug for her wallet. She looked mortified, but I could tell she was trying hard not to. I think I have my star card. She found it, and it worked, so she bought a few Visa gift cards with it, in case the other card continued not to work until payday, she said. Wait, I realized. It was just payday. The star card, even though it could only be used on post, was a lifesaver back when my dad was enlisted and Meg and Joe didn't have jobs. Neither of us talked until we got to the car. My mom started the engine, turned down the radio, and sat behind the wheel for a few seconds. She looked so much like Amy and Meg, with their heart-shaped faces and the set of their mouths. Over the soft purring of the car coming alive, my mom calmly asked, "Can I ask you a favor that I really shouldn't be asking of you?" I nodded, but she didn't turn her head. "Yeah," I spoke. "Please don't mention this to your dad. I'm figuring it out." She sighed, dragging her hand over her mouth like she was wiping off the truth. "Mom, you know I will try to help you any way that I..." She held her hand up. "This isn't something you should be worrying about, and I'm sorry for putting you in the middle of it. Sometimes I forget you're a child." I wouldn't say I was a child. I helped manage the household, but it wasn't the time to bring that up. If you asked Meg and Joe for help, they would. Beth, she smiled. That's not their job. I'm the parent. I know it doesn't seem like it lately. She looked down at the steering column. It's fine. There's so much going on. I get it. She grabbed my hand on my lap. Your generosity scares me sometimes, if I'm honest. Why? She shifted her legs and turned the headlights off. Not many cars were in the lot, and the store was about to close. The gas station next door looked like a ghost town. Because the world is just so big, Bug. My mom would sometimes call us bugs when we were young, but hadn't in years. I worry about what will happen to you when your sisters all move out. I half laughed, unsure how to take what she was saying. What? What do you plan to do after graduation? Or even for graduation? Are you going to stay home until then? I nodded. Yeah, if you guys will let me. I was honest, even though it made me feel like what I imagined a hangover would feel like. She puffed out her cheeks and blew a mouthful of air into the car. Of course we will let you. I would never force you to go to school if you hate it so much. I just need to make sure you're okay. Even staying home, are you okay? Am I doing what I should be doing as your mom for you? My mom's guilt was evident, and honestly, the Spring household wasn't perfect, but I believed that she was doing everything she could. Her nerves seemed to be getting the best of her lately. I'd seen her this sad before, so it didn't shock me, but it was a different feeling to be the center of it. Part of me felt guilty that she was so upset over me, but a small part of me was desperate for the attention. I'm fine. I just learn differently than my sisters. Everyone's different, you know? She laughed. Oh, I know. I'm serious, Bethany. If you need to talk to someone, or maybe feel like seeing a doctor or something, that's okay. There's nothing, nothing, nothing wrong with it. I will do what I can to get you whatever you... Mom! I squeezed her hand. I'm okay. Thank you. I looked at her. She looked more like the Meredith Spring I knew before this spring. The one with the sharp tongue and dark humor. The warrior with a whole world already on her shoulders who would still dance in the living room to old Luther Vandross songs. I love you, and I'm fine. I just really need you and Dad to be okay with me not being at school. And you know if you like someone, whether they're purple, black, white, tan, or blue, or we call them a she, a he, or a who. I know, I smiled. She had been singing that little jingle since I was a kid. She always came up with little songs for random stuff. I'm not dating anyone. I barely leave the... My point exactly. She tilted her head down, giving me the look. Seriously, I'm fine for now. And if that changes, I'll tell you. She linked her pinky into mine. Pinky promise? Deal. I nodded, and she smiled at me. Deal.
42. Meg. Mrs. King was almost done with her monthly dinner for the board of her cancer foundation. She had me come over at noon to do her hair and makeup, direct the caterers, walk her dogs, prepare labels for her mail for the week. I didn't mind the personal assistant duties, but would much rather only be handling her glam. The meeting should be over any minute. The dessert was served 15 minutes ago. I took the few minutes of downtime to touch up my makeup in the hallway mirror. My eyes were still a little puffy from the night before, and the redness in my skin had started peeking through my foundation. That festival wrecked me. It was like a time machine, and I was right back in Texas with a target on my back. I hated feeling like the two worlds were mixing. I had been thinking the past would never catch up with me. What a fucking idiot I was. I glossed my lips and fluffed my hair and tried to cover up the drama in my life one mascara stroke at a time. I caught my reflection in the mirror on the wall and put the wand back into the mascara tube. Shia was standing there, his shirt covered in big patches of sweat. He wasn't moving. He just stared at me in the mirror. I looked away and quickly gathered my makeup into my bag and zipped it shut. "Wait," he called after me, but I kept moving. "Meg." I turned the corner and walked down the hallway. Mr. King's study was right in the middle of this hallway, and even though he wasn't home, I knew better than to snoop around this part of the house. I turned around to face Shia. "No, get away."
"Meg, come on. Hear me out."
I shook my head. "No, no, Shia. Hugh and Belle Gardner can go fuck yourselves." Shia laughed a little. "This isn't funny. You told her, didn't you?" I lowered my voice. "I can't believe you. I know she's your fiancé and till death do you part and all, but I thought we were friends." He popped his eyes out. "Friends, huh? Shia. Margaret." I looked up and down the hallway. The last thing I needed was for Mrs. King to walk out into the hallway with a group of board members dressed in their Sunday dinner best.
"I didn't tell anyone anything about you. You know damn well I wouldn't. Belle said Shelley sent them to her, and she didn't know who sent them to Shelley. She knows she was wrong being a part of that shit, but it was Shelley at the center for real Meg."
I shook my head in disbelief. "You think I care who's in the middle of it? I'm mortified. I was humiliated in front of all of your friends and my sisters." I turned away from him when the tears pricked at the backs of my eyes.
"I know. I know you were."
His voice echoed in the quiet hallway. Of course, this was one of the only areas of the house that didn't have a clock hanging on the wall or perfectly accenting a buffet table. "I'm not talking about this with you. There's nothing to say. Now, I need to get back to work."
"Stop being stubborn. Aren't we past that?"
I turned around and raised my voice. "You and your fiancé went too far, and I have every right to be angry and hurt." I made sure he was looking straight in my eyes. "I hate you. Both of you."
"She's not my fiancé,"
I thought I heard him say. "Huh?" I looked down the hall again, checking to make sure it was only the two of us. He licked his lips.
"We aren't engaged anymore. I ended it on the way home from the festival. I'm sorry she was a part of that."
"Why?" My throat felt like I'd swallowed dirt, and it needed to be watered. He sighed, stepping closer to me.
"So many reasons. I'm too young, she's too young. We don't know each other well enough. We don't have anything in common. She starts drama. She was shitty to you. The usual reasons."
He smiled. I caught my own smile just before it broke on my lips. "Are you being serious?" I couldn't tell for sure, but I thought maybe he was. "Why were you with her in the first place?" He shrugged.
"She's cool."
He paused.
"Well, sometimes she is. And she's funny, and I haven't had a girlfriend in a long time, and I knew it would get my parents off my back about leaving. It would give my mom something else to obsess over."
"She worries about you."
"Yeah."
He rubbed the back of his neck. The sleeves of his shirt were cut off, and like me, he looked tired. "So now what?" I asked. Our conversation was moving so fast.
"I'm leaving Tuesday."
"Whoa. This Tuesday?" He nodded. "Okay." I swallowed my words and my shock. I knew he was leaving, and more than that, his absence from New Orleans wasn't going to change my life in any way. I had gotten used to his being gone in the short time I've known him.
"Okay. That's it?"
"What else do you expect from me?" I leaned my shoulder against the beige wall. The massive family painting on the wall hung at my eye level, and I looked at Shia's young face and that dang teddy bear in his hands all captured in front of me.
"I don't know, something more than okay."
"Why don't you say something to me? You're the one who obviously has something to say." His eyes closed for a second and he came closer to me, backing me against the wall.
I'm sorry about Belle. I am. I didn't have anything to do with it, but I'm sorry still.
He placed his hand at the base of my neck, just over the thin fabric of my t-shirt. I was dressed too casually, a white pocketed tee tucked into ripped black jeans that were tucked into black booties. If I'd have known I'd be going up against Shia, I would have worn more comfortable shoes and a sexier shirt.
What else can I say to you, Meg? That you drive me up a freaking wall half the time? Or that I think you're a brat, or that I wish I could be what you want?
He inched closer.
Huh?
He was going to kiss me. Oh my God. This had to be a horrible idea. Joe would think this was a horrible idea. Don't even think about it, I said through a smile, turning my head when he moved his lips toward mine. What is it that I want exactly? I asked breathlessly. His palm was still at the base of my neck. He grinned.
You want the officer's wife life. You want to be like that or like my mom?
What's so bad about that? His body was only a few inches away from mine, nearly pinning me to the wall. Shia gripped the torso of my t-shirt and pulled me to him. The moment our lips touched, heels clicked against the floor down the hall. I jerked away from him and he gently wrapped his hand around my wrist. His mom was coming toward us, and I was trying not to panic.
Don't run, he begged. We need to talk.
Meg? Mrs. King was looking for me.
Shit! Your mom's going to kill me, I groaned, stepping out into the light.
Coming, I said as she laid eyes on me. Her tan dress fit her body perfectly, and her laced-up heels went past her ankle. Her hair was sleek, a black river down her shoulders.
We're finished. If you want to come into the dining room while I clean up, we can go over next week and you can go.
She didn't seem to suspect anything, but then Shia stepped out of the corner and stood behind me. Mrs. King didn't even blink when she saw him.
You're back, she said to her son as he walked toward her. She was almost his height in her 4-inch heels. Yeah, I only went to work out. I told you that.
Your sister said your flight out is Tuesday.
I shouldn't have been there while they were talking about family things, but the only way out was past the two of them. I remembered the fight I'd witnessed from the hallway and prayed that history didn't repeat itself.
Mom, I always come back.
He reached out to hug her and she pointed at his sweaty clothes.
Come on.
He laughed, tilting his head, charming her instantly. You're going to put me in an early grave coming and going like this. Your sister is settling down. When are you going to? She hugged him with one arm. The question was from a concerned mother, not the Mrs. King who cut my checks. She was always nice to me, but she was so, so soft with her son.
I'm coming back at the end of summer.
The three of us began to walk toward the staircase. September is so long from now. Shia was leaving in 2 days until the end of summer. That did seem so long from now.
You'll be fine. Maybe you'll get lucky and one of the girls will get pregnant.
Shia jokingly pulled away from his mom. My heart was finally slowing from our talk upstairs. She rolled her eyes at him.
Very funny. They may as well, since you won't give me grandchildren. Okay, now go bother someone else in this house so we can get some work done.
She shooed him away. I bit back a smile, relieved the conversation had been light. Shia kissed his mom on the cheek, waved to me without making eye contact, and disappeared from the entryway. I followed Mrs. King into the dining room where the dinner had been held. She always reminded me I could sit in on the dinners, but I don't have the attention span for them. Two housekeepers were working around us to clean up, and Mrs. King grabbed a trash bag and started clearing off the table herself. It went extremely well.
We're giving another scholarship, and we have some ideas for a new website. We need a designer. Do you know one? She tossed plate after plate of mostly eaten food into the bag. I started collecting the cups. I think my sister's boyfriend is one. Lori seemed like the type. I'll find out and tell you. Thanks, Meg. How was your evening? You ate, right? I hope you did. I nodded, and we moved from seat to seat. Mrs. King always made sure I ate whatever I wanted while she had her meetings, and I always picked places I loved to cater the dinners because of this. Most of the time, I brought leftovers to my sisters. How was your time? She asked again. Oh my God, she's grilling me. My throat was so dry. Good. I was just walking around and ran into Shia. I squeezed a tiny smile out like the last bit of toothpaste. I saw. How's John Brooke? My stomach dropped. I croaked. Good. I mean, she was cleaning so fast I could barely keep up. Again, I wished I had worn more comfortable shoes. He's visiting his family for a few days before he has to report to his first duty station. How many years does he owe the army again? 5. That's a long time, she told me, like I didn't know that already. The table was cleared off, and I was so ready to go home and get away from anyone with a last name King. Maybe not Shia. Hell, I was so confused. Yeah, I managed. Mrs. King stood next to me, towering over me. Let's go to the kitchen. She walked past me, so I followed behind her and checked the time on my phone. I had been in this house all day. No one had texted me. Joe was probably still mad at me, and I could barely remember what we even fought over. Mrs. King walked to the sleek commercial fridge and pulled out a half gallon of milk. Can you grab 2 cups and the green plate? She pointed to the plate of cookies in front of me. I met her at the island, and she handed me a glass of milk and a spoon. I slid the cookies between us, hoping that she already knew my schedule for the next week. I took a bite of a chocolate chip cookie right as Mrs. King asked, Should I be worried about the way my son feels about you? I nearly choked. What? My big mouth said. Mrs. King was so calm and so well-spoken when she asked again, Should I be worried about you and my son? I was careful with my response. In which way? In the romantic way. Why would you be worried? I took a drink of the milk. Mrs. King leaned on her elbows on the marble island. The things that would worry me are cheating, patience, and the way our family name is carried on. My chest tightened. I'm not cheating on anyone. John and I barely... I didn't want to give her an excuse. I would end things with John before I made a commitment to your son. I didn't even know if I wanted to do that. I knew he was telling the truth about not telling Belle, but that didn't mean our relationship would ever make sense or last longer than one of his trips. And patience? She dipped her cookie into the glass of milk. In what way? I hated that I had to ask her to clarify, but if this was a test, I wanted to pass. He goes on these trips, and he will be in villages with 0 internet. And he will come home with no money in the bank because he gave it all away. He's a good man, and I'm proud of him, but there are limits to everything, and Shia needs to be with a woman with a lot of patience. Did you ask Belle Gardner these things? I just had to know. Mrs. King shook her head. Didn't need to. Because you already knew the answers? I still just had to know. No, I knew it wasn't going to last long enough for the answers to matter. Her response surprised me, but I didn't have time to think before my mouth took over again. I think I'm patient. I wasn't as patient as, say, Beth, but I could wait for things that were worth my time. And the family legacy stuff? I asked. I wasn't sure if I wanted to hear it. The Kings were so out of my league. Do you know what I care about more than the color of your skin or your last name? She began. No, I sure didn't. I care about whether you're a warrior. Are you going to be able to handle the pressure of being in a family like this? Shia and his dad may not talk for months, but our family is number one in my life. I nodded. And I don't care about what college you went to, or even if you went to college. I know it's not for everyone, and you millennials are so self-made nowadays. I get it. Are you going to be able to raise my grandkids to be strong and take on the world despite the color of their skin? I nodded again. I know this seems like a lot. She smiled, lightening up the unexpected conversation. And I sound like I'm hovering over him, but that's not the case. If this doesn't work out, it changes a lot of things. Your job could be compromised, the friendship you two have, the friendship we have. I don't want to waste my time or my son's time or your time, Meg, if you're not ready for this. It still seemed a little intense, but honestly, I had been planning my wedding and naming my stuffed animals since I could talk. I wasn't like Joe. Being a mother was so important to me, and I had always known that no matter what race my children were, I would be their biggest advocate. I looked forward to my future as a wife and mother someday. I was so far from that. Shia, too. I understand. Shia and I are just so far from that. Well, I want you to be able to think about the big picture. I would really hate to lose the working relationship we have now if you guys end up calling it off. We had to call it on first, but I didn't tell her that. Mrs. King, I promise that if we go there, I'll be ready for those things, I assured her and myself. All of them. Shia and I couldn't just start dating. We would have to start as friends again. And that couldn't happen because he was leaving until after summer, and it was still spring. That's all I'm asking. And don't tell him that I said any of this. That's the last thing. Her smile was warm enough to melt most of the awkwardness away. Oh, and I need you to pass these cookies down to my grandchildren. Deal. I raised a new cookie in the air. Deal, she echoed, cheersing me with her half-eaten cookie. For the next 20 minutes, we went over her schedule for the next week, including everything from dog grooming appointments tomorrow morning to jury duty on Thursday. In between my adding things to her cell phone calendar, I kept looking through the doorway, sort of hoping to see Shia again before I left. He only had 2 more days here, and I knew those days would come and go, and then, poof, he'd be on the other side of the world again. But he never came through the door. Right as I was leaving with a pan full of leftovers, Mrs. King's phone went off on the counter where I'd placed it. She lifted it up and read it as she walked me to the door. Have a good night, Meg, and let me know if you want to take Tuesday off. I nodded, thanking her, and got to my car as fast as I could. What? Just happened.
43. Beth. Little Caesar's Pizza was empty, save for us and the pregnant girl behind the counter. Only 2 slices of pizza sat under the warmer. I had known they were about to close and felt like a jerk for coming in last minute, but it was worse now that I was making a pregnant girl help us. Her name tag said Tawny, and she had big brown eyes and really curly hair. She looked so young. Hi. My mom smiled at her. Mom was always a polite customer and taught us to be the same. She was a little less perky than she had been a few years ago, but everyone in the spring house was just a little more tired now. Hi, how can I help you? My mom asked pregnant Tawny to please, please make fresh pizzas, promising her a tip worth her while, and apologized profusely. I didn't know what was going to happen that night, after the greasy pizza filled our happy stomachs, and the movie we chose to watch ended, and my mom and dad went to their room, and we girls went to ours. I didn't know which of my sisters would be around tonight, and I hoped at least one of them would be there for me to talk to when my parents closed their bedroom door and my mom had to tell my dad that, once again, we had no money. Only jalapeno and onion on that side, my mom said, ordering Joe's favorite pizza. I hoped Joe had cooled down enough to be under the same roof as Amy. I hoped the next day my mom could tell my dad that I'm not going to public school ever again, and that he would take it well and I could focus on my assignments. At least we aren't the only ones in here right before closing, a girl's voice said. It sounded familiar, and when I glanced behind me, I saw why. Wearing fitted sweatpants and an olive green t-shirt, leaning against the railing was Nat, the girl who made the mood jewelry from the festival. Ugh, that festival. If we could just erase it from spring family history, that would be great. Being at her stall was the only good part of that whole thing. She was so nice and even helped us hide Meg. Nat looked so chill in her street clothes. Her ears were showing beneath her ponytail, and I could see they were decorated. She was standing next to a man I assumed was her dad and pointing at the menu on the wall above us. For a girl who I had only known for a weekend, I had sure run into her a lot. Well, the festival, she was working, so that was an easy explanation. But this? The chances of her and her dad being here, well, it was just weird. My cheeks were hot, and I tried not to look in the mirrored wall behind the counter. Tried and failed. I looked like I hadn't slept in a week.
What did your mother want again?
Nat's presumed dad asked her. With my fingers, I tried to flatten the strays escaping from my ponytail, but it wasn't working well. Cheese and ham, she told him. He asked about her homework, and I was watching her when she looked over at me, catching my eyes. She blinked 3 times quick and smiled. Hey, I know you. Hey. I waved back just as my mom turned around. Hi, who's this? She waved at Nat and her dad and introduced herself. Hi, I'm Nat. She smiled at my mom and thumb-pointed at her dad. This is my dad.
Shin, nice to meet you.
He reached out his hand to shake my mom's. Nat turned to me.
How are you? How random, we're the only people in town eating Little Caesars.
She laughed a little and tucked her dark hair behind her ear. Her ponytail was so soft-looking, the true tumbler definition of a messy bun. Mine never looked effortlessly cute messy, ever. Good, I told her. I felt overly anxious for some reason. There was no line behind us or voices chattering over one another, only pop music from a decade ago and the buzzing of the cooler in front of us. It was only the 4 of us. Well, 6, including Tawny and her baby, but my heart was racing like I was standing in the middle of a Black Friday, now starting on Thanksgiving, sale at Walmart. Nat was looking at me like I forgot to answer her, which I halfway did. Right, we thought we were the only ones who still liked it. Nat's face broke into a smile and she laughed a little. Same. Our parents were talking about school districts or something. I didn't know or care. What are you guys doing out? Fort Cypress is so quiet tonight, Nat said, looking around the empty Kmart. I knew then that she was an army brat because she called the entire town here Fort Cypress. The few people around posts who weren't army-related called their town by its actual name. Running errands. We went to the PX. The memory made my throat dry. And now pizza for dinner, then nothing, just watching a scary movie. You? I love scary movies. Her voice rose a little. She was so animated when she talked, it reminded me of Joe. She came closer to me, and Tawny came out to take Nat's order. She ordered for her family, and her dad stepped up to pay for it. We went to the craft store and to get a tire pump thing for some floaty thing. For your sister or brother or something? I asked. No, my mom. It's for the yard for spring. It's kind of weird how much she decorates. Nat laughed. If only she saw my mom's house on Halloween or my grandma's house on Christmas. I'm an only child. I almost choked. An only child? She started laughing. Your eyes are like... She popped her eyes out, laughing harder. I have three sisters. I told the pretty alien girl in front of me. An only child? What would that even be like? Three. It was her turn to gape. Wow, that's a lot. Yeah, it is. I grinned. My mom's birthday is tomorrow, so we were blowing all these yard decorations up for her and getting her pizza. Nat licked her lips and looked back to check on her dad. She looked so much younger without makeup and glitter and henna etched all over her creamy skin. I couldn't tell if she was my age or older. Cool. My aunt's birthday is tomorrow at our house, I said, for what reason I couldn't tell you. Nat kept her smile. Fun, she said, like she meant it. I was trying to give my parents some alone time, but then my dad volunteered to come with me. She slapped her hand gently against her forehead. She made me laugh. It was refreshing. That sounds so weird that I wanted to give my parents alone time. My mom looked over at us, and I looked to Nat again, trying not to laugh. A little, but I get it. My parents never had alone time. You could come to my house, I said. But the moment I offered, I wondered if it was too much. Would my mom even be okay with that? Would my mom wait to bring up the money stuff to my dad until we were all in bed? I stammered a little. I'll have to ask. I mean, if you even want to, I don't know. Yeah, sure. If your mom doesn't care. I mean, it's only like 7. I could go home at like 9:30. It's not like I have school tomorrow. She turned to her dad and asked him. My mom said yes, looking at Nat, her dad, then me. How do you know her? She whispered to me. She made the jewelry I brought home, the dark ring I bought for you. My mom hadn't worn it yet, but promised that she would when she went somewhere special. Really? Wow. She's only 17. Her dad said she wants to go to LSU next fall. But yeah, she can come over and you guys can stay in the living room and watch a movie. Mom, the same rules apply to you that were on your sisters. Not until you're 16. Nat couldn't hear her, thank goodness, but I wanted the conversation to end. Okay, okay, I agreed, and Nat's dad nodded. I have this conversation with all my daughters, Meg and Joe, and now you. My mom was still whispering. We'd never had to have this conversation because I'd never had any friends over, boy or girl. Okay, I said again. My mom nodded and turned to Nat. What kind of pizza did you get? It felt like everything around me was changing so fast since my dad got home, since Joe met Laurie, since Shia King came back, since Amy started her period, since me making my first friend in a really, really long time. I hoped that time would slow down in the coming summer. Or was this what being a teenager was like? Everything came flying at you fast, and you just had to try to grab a hold of the good parts when you could.
44. Joe. I can't believe this, I said for the 10th time in the last 5 minutes. Lori was sitting on his bed, his fingers typing and clicking away on my laptop. I was so pissed at Amy. How could she be such a cold-hearted little bitch? I'm telling Meg. I have to. I sat down at the end of the bed and pulled my phone out of my pocket. What a long-ass day. I was so fucking over today.
That's not my business. You know what's best for your family. Look.
He sat up toward me, angling the screen so I could see it.
Your essay was backed up, so it's here. I emailed it to my email just in case something goes wrong. You should really always send yourself your documents.
That's it? You're done? I raised a brow at him. He nodded. Thank you. Seriously. What a mess this is, Lori. What a fucking mess of a family I have. Amy, man.
I can't believe she would send those emails to Meg. Meg is her favorite one of us. Imagine what she has planned for me. I didn't want to imagine that, actually. Everyone's family has their own shit. You know that. Look at mine.